It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Birds at the Bye next Wednesday at Chickie's and Pete's. Wednesday, November 5th. Yeah. Morning show will be here. Midday show will be here. We will be here. All benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Twitter questions brought to you by Mark's Jewelers with locations in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. There's a Mark's Jewelers Minutes from Everywhere online at marks-jewelers.com. Is Jalen elite?
Ooh, finally.
Is the question today. Ike.
Are you ready to say yes, Spike?
I am not, but we're not going to do that here.
Well, and then,
what do you think the poll is at?
I would say yes.
Yeah, what do you think the percentage?
Because there is no real concrete definition of what elite sort of means to everyone.
Yep,
that's why Elliot says it all.
Says there's enough sort of gray area there.
Yep.
So I'll go 58% says he's elite.
76% say he's elite.
Wow.
Yeah.
That strong.
Yeah.
Listen, I haven't deviated from the elite winner.
Right.
Status.
Right.
And that hasn't changed. And I'm content with that.
Yeah.
I really don't care. Like, I really don't care. As long as the team wins while he's the quarterback, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. And
ultimately, it just doesn't.
No. And truthfully, during the season, I mean, we've seen this with the poll questions week to week.
Yeah.
You can say yes or no based on however the last game was.
Yeah.
So really, it's about everything.
And, like, if he were to finish in the top three in MVP voting, would you guys say he was elite?
I would like to separate myself from Jack.
It'd be pretty hard not to. Well, yes.
Yeah, that should be a simple answer.
Yes.
That's an easy answer of yes.
Yeah.
So regardless of what his numbers look like or anything else.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
If Daniel Jones finishes in the top three of MVP voting, mm-hmm. would you say he's elite?
This year, yes.
You would?
Yes.
You would say he was an elite quarterback?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, see, here's the difference. I've always said this. It's a sliding scale. There's no argument that can be made that Joe Burrow is elite this year. You're going to use things he's did in the past. He hasn't gone to the Super Bowl in 4 years. He's missed the playoffs now 3 or 4 straight years. He's injured every other year. But someone will try to make the argument that he's elite. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't register to the average football fan. Like, what's more important? The guy that's available every week, the guy that's in the playoffs every year, who gives a chance of his team a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl, is that guy elite versus the guy with all the measurables, the numbers, and everything else and the potential? So when you ask me about Daniel Jones, I would say yes. If he finished in the top three in voting in 2025, he was elite this year. You don't get to be only Patrick Mahomes because of how much he's won. Does he get to be in the elite category for a lot of people every year, regardless of what he does? The other guys, it's subjective because it's based on what? Like, what would it be based on? If the Ravens missed the playoffs, we're still going to say Lamar Jackson is an elite quarterback another year that he doesn't make the Super Bowl? People will still say he's elite, right?
Yes.
But does that make sense? It does make sense.
I do think it does make sense.
It makes no sense.
So he gets hurt coming off of a 41-4 year.
Everybody else get penalized when they get hurt. They get called injury prone.
Well, yeah, but you can still say – you can still watch Lamar and think he's an elite player. So, like,
but I'm saying, what is it based on, though?
Well, I think it's just simply based on watching him. I mean, I know by resume, sure. It's eye test.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that's so subjective. It's so subjective, and it's a cop-out for those of us in this business. No, I'm being serious. Who want to put together a list that we like of the guys that we like. It's subjective. It's not concrete.
Well, none of it's concrete.
But my point is that if a guy wins every year, he's in the playoffs every year, and your team is a legitimate Super Bowl contender, if he's not elite, then I don't know, why would anybody aspire to be elite? Like, why would I aspire to be the other guy versus this guy?
All I'd say is that the thing that you just described is also Jared Goff, and I don't think any of us would say he's elite. He's in the playoffs every year. He has elite stats every year. His team wins every year. I don't think anybody thinks
he's elite. His team doesn't win every year regular season games. He doesn't win in the playoffs every year. There's a difference.
Okay.
There's a difference. See, that's the difference with Jalen and a lot of these guys, because he actually wins in the playoffs and he plays big on the biggest stages. He's not getting carried, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in these games, he's not getting carried no more than any of these other quarterbacks get carried by their defense or anything else. He's not getting carried anymore. Because when those guys lose, then it becomes an excuse that they didn't have enough help to win. So my only thing is that if he continues to win and he's in that MVP conversation, I don't understand how is he not elite. That's my only thing, is that I don't understand how he's not elite, other than you just don't want to. I'm saying unless somebody doesn't, they choose. It's like saying LeBron's not a top 10 player. It's the dumbest thing in the world to ever say. It's to say he's not a top 5 player. But there'll be people that say that because there's a personal agenda there against LeBron. So if Jalen continuously wins and puts himself in that position, the only thing you can surmise from anybody who says he's not in there is there is a personal agenda.
I don't agree with that.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to agree with it. But I'm just saying this is my opinion. Okay. This is the way I would view it.
Okay.
Is that if you're not going to give him credit for these things, then you're holding something against him that's personal to you. That isn't the same. It doesn't carry the same weight with everybody else.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Big V and Matt Laurel. You're on WIP. What's up, Big V? All right. Nope. CJ in Texas. You're on WIP. What's up, CJ?
Here's a What's good, fellas?
What's up, CJ?
Victory. You know, I get the better victory stream today. You know what I'm saying? You ain't choking. But I do want to ask you this, Ike.
Yes.
You were just saying about LeBron, and you're naming the different things.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Is it winning team sport?
Yes.
Okay. So, but you keep saying if Jalen keeps winning.
Well, yeah, if he's the quarterback of a team that keeps winning, yes.
Okay. So what he did yesterday, would we consider that special?
No. I wouldn't consider it special, but it was very efficient, and it shouldn't just be taken for granted. As much as we complain about everything else, why would we take a 4-touchdown, 70-some completion percentage, 180 yards for granted as if anybody could do it?
Yeah, he played great yesterday. He did everything he was asked of yesterday.
Right? That's not what he normally does, right? He doesn't let them fly. He does, you know, I'll say it the right way. He seems to... We all agree, it seems like he holds on to the ball. He seems like he wants to not pick, which I love. But sometimes it may seem like he holds on to it a little bit too much.
Yeah, but he's not perfect.
He's not perfect.
He's not perfect.
All I'm saying is, CJ, is that it should weigh the same against the others as well. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. That's cool. But you just said... You named Jackson, right?
I named Joe Burrow because everybody says Lamar, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes are the 4 elite quarterbacks. So to me, other than Patrick Mahomes, I can question all those other 3 guys.
How many MVPs has Lamar won?
2.
He's won 2.
So, and he should have only won 1.
He should have only won one.
Put it this way. He could have easily won last year, but then Josh wouldn't have one.
Right, right.
So my point is the second one that he won, I didn't think he deserved the second one.
But even with him being injured, he's still elite. Their issue is defense. They paid all that money for their defense, and defense not coming through. He's done it with
But here's what I'm asking you, CJ. CJ, here's what I'm asking you. I'm going to need something that's concrete that tells me what makes him elite. Because if it's not the winning, or if it's winning, how are we weighing these things? Like, how are we weighing these things? Are we weighing how they play the biggest in the biggest moment? Because when you're beating up on Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati in your division every year, it doesn't carry as much weight when you can't beat Buffalo or Kansas City in the playoffs or Cincinnati.
But we're celebrating beating the Giants. We lost to the Giants.
CJ, we went to two Super Bowls, and he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in both of them and won one. We're not celebrating beating the Giants. We're talking about Jalen Hurts as a quarterback. Period.
Man, I'm just saying, I'm one of those people who say I'm 100% on the end of Jalen because I look at things and just be like, man, it can't be that hard. It can't be that hard to let them fly. It's too many
Do you watch every quarterback that way?
You watch all the quarterbacks that way. I watch.
Okay, well, here's what I'll tell you.
I watch all the games at once.
All I'm saying is that Jordan Love doesn't look great every week. Josh Allen hasn't looked great every week. I think Josh Allen had like four turnovers in the span of 2 weeks when they lost those two games. So all I'm saying is that every quarterback doesn't play great every week. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Playing great every week. My thing is, we won against the Giants.
Yes.
He played a good game. He played a 50.
What about when we beat the Rams and we beat the other good teams?
What about the Vikings game?
What about those teams that we beat, the other good teams?
Respect it. We won. But I'm talking about his performance because it is the thing people come and rightly so.
All right. His phone's bad. I'm making the executive decision to
all
talk
I'm saying
about
is, yeah. All I'm saying is, why doesn't what he's done in the past give him the benefit of the doubt? It does for every other quarterback. When they don't play a great game, we'll bring up what they've done in the past, how they've shown us brilliance in the past. But somehow Jalen's brilliance gets minimized. It gets minimized is the point that I'm making. He shows the same flashes of brilliance that those guys do. He does, and on the bigger stage. He doesn't shy away from the moment. And shy away from the moment. That's all I'm saying. Why can't he be in the group with those guys? That's what I'm asking. He should be in the group with those guys. And Joe Burrow, who you know I love. Come on, man. We still saying Joe Burrow's an elite quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm open to it. I might be trending towards the E word. But we'll see.
What's the E word?
Elite.
Elite.
Oh, okay.
Over Jalen. He may be leaning toward that.
I might get there.
I'm going to get both of you guys there.
Yeah, you might.
I'm going to get you
guys
there.
Listen, because here's what all I do like.
Yeah.
I have fair and
we
balanced.
We got to take a break.
I know.
What are we doing here?
I'm fair and balanced.
Oh, okay. He's going to be late anyway.
Okay. He's not talking till 3:30. No, I'm just kidding. Go to break. It's all right. E.
You sent us the break, big guy.
All right, so coming up next, on the other side. Yeah. Listen, you don't want to miss what Nick Sirianni is going to say today. It's going to be so earth-shattering. That you like? It's is he gonna call? Is he gonna call Jalen Hurts elite? Don't miss it. Coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. We will get to your calls on the game on AJ right after we hear from the coach. Coach's press conference sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. Here is Coach Sirianni.
Thanks for taking the time for us today. We're going to start with Martin Frank and then go to John McMullen.
Hey, Nick. If I could start off by asking about the trade deadline being like 8 days away and everything. The fact that you guys don't have a game to prepare for this week, how much does that enable you to kind of be more involved with Howie as far as trade talks and how beneficial is it for you not to have to worry about a game and can focus on the trade deadline?
Yeah, regardless of the scenario that, you know, whether we have a game, whether we have a short week with the trade line day coming up or trade line deadline coming up, always constant communication with Howie about everything. You know, that's, you know, we find time to do the things that are necessary to help the team win, help the team get better, whatever it may be. Obviously, this week's very important for us as far as our self-scout and identifying some different things. And so, you know, always going to be a busy week. But I wouldn't say, you know, because we don't have a game this upcoming week, it's any different, because you just find the time to do the things necessary to help get better and help the team win.
Thanks.
We'll go to John McMullen and then Ed Kratz.
Hi, Nick. N'Kobe Dean, I wanted to ask you yesterday, but getting him back and all he's went through, just the leadership behind the scenes, what's it been like for the team to get him back and contributing?
Yeah, always great to have him on the field. Guys love playing with and for N'Kobe. So love that group, that linebacker group that we have. It's great to have him back on the field contributing. Obviously, he's been very important for us for the past, 4 years. And, again, works his butt off, always constantly preparing, doing all the necessary things that getting better requires, and just love having him back ready to go.
We'll go to Ed Kratz and then Jeff McClain.
Hi, Nick. Just ask you about what your messaging is to, your coaching staff and the players heading into, I guess, this week off and into the bye week.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we are completely locked in and focused on finding ways to get better, identifying issues, identifying strengths, and this is a really important week. We've benefited from this week in the past, whether that be going into the playoffs or whether it's in the regular season. And so it's that same motivation and same hunger to do everything that we can do to help improve the football team. For players, it's about, being away and resting their bodies and taking care of their bodies, doing some extra stuff themselves. As far as their mental preparation for the rest of the season, but really, I always think that this bye week sets you up for and for some things that for the rest of the season. So it's a really important week.
We'll go to McClain here, and then Dave Z.
What's up, McClain?
McClain again. What's up, Sirianni? Hey, Nick. The pin and pull blocks were key this week. For you guys on bringing Saquon on tank. What's the process of how they're put into the game plan and then carried on through the coaching staff and then down to the players and then executing? I imagine it starts with Stout seeing something. How much can you provide in terms of how that unfolds over the course of a week?
Yeah, different scheme. You always look at the defense that you're playing. Their players, obviously, the first thing that you look at. Then their techniques. Right, every defense has different techniques of how they play different things. I think that's one I want to, obviously be careful how much I'm saying too, as for competitive reasons. But you always look at the techniques of how they're playing, the different ways they're stopping the run, and that's how you kind of that's your starting point of what to put in and why to put it in, right? Obviously we have the offensive line and to be able to do a lot of different schemes. But you also want to have your bread and butters, the things that you can rest your head on in critical moments and when it's crunch time. But a lot of that is based off of your film study of what you're looking at. Now, the better you are on offense and the more they're worried about the run game, the more you might not see the things that you saw on film all week. But it always starts with their players, their techniques of how they play different things, how they line up formationally. Obviously, everything's always, first and foremost, what you're always thinking about your players and what they can accomplish, but we do feel like our guys are versatile and be able to accomplish a lot of different things. So I think that's where the starting point is. That's probably most I'm going to give you right there just for competitive reasons. But yeah.
We'll go to Dave and then Jeff Nyberg.
Nick, through this point in the season, how much growth have you seen from Kevin Petullo in his new job? And how much do you account for that going into a season, knowing that you have an OC who's been with you, but hasn't been in that particular role?
I think he's done a good job of continuing to get better, just like our players. I think that's the, regardless of, every team's a new team. So there's a growth period in every, whether it's a first time play caller or not, there's a growth period within each year for, the players, for the coaches, everything. And so that's what the first weeks of the season are for, is to find ways to win, find ways to get better, and really continue, you know, be in that continual growth mindset all the way through. So you're playing your best football in November, December, January, hopefully.
We'll go to Jeff Nyberg and then Bob Brookover.
Hey, Nick, these bye weeks are obviously, you know, time to take stock and self-evaluate. You just had one of these 2 weeks ago with the mini bye. How differently do you feel about the state of the union right now, I guess, for lack of a better term, now compared to 2 weeks ago? And what's sort of your general overall take on where you guys are right now?
Yeah, obviously super important, a Thursday night game, you know, coming off of that. You can't do everything that you want to do in a normal bye week, you know, just because there's less time, obviously. And so obviously this week's always important. I guess, you know, again, we don't live week to week, with results. We're paid to win football games and find ways to get better, but we don't live within a week to week. You know, you work like crazy to get better. You work like crazy to win each football game. But then win, lose, or draw, you're on to the next and you're doing the same thing over again. So, you know, I think I respect your question as far as, you know, obviously after the Thursday night game, we had lost two in a row. Now we've won two in a row. We really don't think that way. We just think about how we're going to get better, and find ways to win. And so that's where we are right now. It's no different. That's, we don't have to be like everybody else, right? We actually thrive and enjoy that we don't have to live like the outside world with how each and every game goes. We just put our head down, look for ways to get better, try to find ways to win. And so that's where we are right now. And now we're into the bye week, and it's a great opportunity for growth here.
We'll go to Bob Brookover and then EJ Smith.
Hey, Nick, you guys obviously had a lot of success coming out of the bye last year. It looked like it was early, kind of early when you look at the schedule. This year, is week nine the perfect bye week? And what have you learned about how to spend your time in the bye week since you've been in this job?
Yeah, I don't think you can ever really say, hey, this is the perfect time for a bye, right? Last year, in 2024, week four was our perfect time for the bye, you know, and our mindset will be, hey, this year, this is our perfect time for a bye. And when we play a Friday night game coming, or Friday afternoon game coming up, that'll be a perfect time for a Friday night game. You handle every situation and control the things you can control. You can't control those other things. The bye week process, we just continue to evolve it. But I think that to say, hey, here's what I've learned in my past 4 years here, you know, that really, it really goes back. What have I learned in my time in the NFL on these bye weeks? And that's why you're just constantly in this growth mindset of everything, of how you can get better at your process. So I think that's been an evolving thing. Obviously, you know, these last 4 or 5 years I've been the head coach, so obviously there's more to it than when I was, you know, just the offensive coordinator. But I think that the process of our bye week has evolved throughout the years from the past 10 years of my coaching career, you know. And so, but really, it's really, really about, I think human nature could be, hey, we don't have a game this week, have a tendency to be able to relax. And that's just not the way we think. And that's just not the way we're about to go about our business this week. We'll be about finding ways to get better, identifying issues that we know we have, identifying strengths that we know we have, and tendencies, and looking for ways to improve on those things.
We'll go to EJ and then finish with Zach Berman.
Hey, Nick. On the missed field goal at the midway through the first quarter, it seemed like there was some confusion and some frustration afterward. I'm curious, what happened on that play? What was the source of the confusion? And then what was the explanation from the officials that you got on the sideline there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things that happen within a game. I'm glad you guys don't ask me every week, hey, why'd you get upset with the official here? Or why were you happy with them here? Because that'd be the whole press conference. So I think that we probably just keep that between myself and the officials. You know, again, I just think that's the right way of doing business in the NFL. They got a hard job. We got a hard job. It's never about, you know, there's always many opportunities to win and lose football games. It's never about that. But there was, you know, obviously there was something that we were communicating about. You know, they made the call the best way that they thought they could. I respect that. And we move on and we play the next play.
We'll finish with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. I saw on the team video that you gave out a cowbell after the game. What's the story behind that, and how long has that been going on?
Yeah, that was the first time I gave out a cowbell, so it hasn't been going on in a long time. But I don't know. You guys, if the players want you, I always want to keep my conversations with the guys in house. That was something we talked about in a team meeting. If they want to share that with you, by all means, they can.
If I can then follow up then, yeah. Generally on Saquon's performance, you didn't necessarily get asked that about the game. I'm sorry, after the game. What stood out about the way Saquon ran, and is that a game you saw coming this season?
Yeah, of course. You know, Saquon, I thought that was just a matter of time. We've been close, you know, with our run game, and it popped yesterday. And so we want to build on that and continue on that. But I think, you know, like – that was just a matter of time because, you know, we have the players up front. Saquon looks great, and he was able to find some space yesterday to, you know, to get some of those explosive runs that we were used to seeing from him.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate your time as always.
We are back. What a brilliant performance from one Nick Sirianni.
Elite, some would say.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Never realized what a – Zach Berman I don't think of as having hoagie mouth and a local accent, but he has a little bit there. Jack and I noticed it.
I need Elliot to work on his hoagie mouth.
Yeah, he gave a little, hey, Nick, the cowbell thing. How long has that been going on? Yeah.
Love a good going on.
Going on. Yo,
just combine them two.
Yeah. How long's the cowbell thing be going on over there? Alright.
That was a little town. That was like a North Jersey.
Yeah. I got a lot in there. You do too much of it, it gets worse. 215-592-9494. Ike in Southwest Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Ike?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's up?
What up, Ike?
Hey. Ain't nothing. Yo, so here's the thing. As far as the AJ thing, I'll just say this. I know it's been said a lot, like why Jones just come out and say he want to be able. He just did that like 2 weeks ago, two or 3 weeks ago when he made his apology. He said Philly was home. He wanted to stay here. So if people going to believe it or not believe it, I don't think coming out saying it now is different than when he said it two or three weeks ago.
That's fair. Do you believe it?
Did he not tweet something after that that may have given a different message?
No. Yeah, we could. The thing was, using me, not using me, didn't make me think he didn't want to be here. Because there's the other thing.
Well, it may not have made you think that, but it made a lot of other people think that.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm just telling you my opinion. I ain't saying okay. You can't have okay. Your own opinion. That's fine.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. See, the thing I always look at is we all about in our 40s and 50s, right?
31.
That must be Jack. Yeah. So yeah.
Don't listen to him. Nobody cares.
The thing is, these young boys, and he ain't young boy, but younger people, they different than us. I would not handle stuff the way he handled it, but I'm saying that's the way people handle it, and everybody ain't the same. So I get it. The criticism on certain things is fair, but I'm telling you, I don't understand why everybody thinks because they got this little turmoil. I don't see him getting traded because – as much as stuff, this is nothing like T.O. T.O. was going at it with the Eagles. I ain't saying that y'all said it. I'm just making a comparison.
Yeah.
T.O. got suspended. T.O.
You know what, though? You know what, though? Here's what I would say, though. If you're them, and look, we have no idea, and I agree with what you said. T.O. made it far more uncomfortable for the Eagles than A.J. Brown has done it here. But if you're the Eagles and you think it might go there, I think what you want to do, the argument for it would be, if you let it get to that point, then you're going to get a worse trade back because everybody's going to know that you're in a bad spot. So,
but then again, you want to trade them and it might not go there? I'm not taking that choice. Chance,
well, that's what we would
games,
say.
I'm saying when I'm watching the games, I see him cheer his players on because I've seen when he throw touchdowns and stuff like that, he have his hand up, and other than Hurts, he be celebrating with his teammates and stuff like that. So I don't think it's nowhere near the same thing. So that's just my opinion. I just don't see it as the same. I think they need to get this figured out. And if it's that broken, he would not have been talking to him and Saquon in that little parking lot pimping little meeting they had or whatever a couple weeks ago.
I think this is the thing. I think you hit on that there. It's either got to stop by him stopping it or them trading him. Because I think if this continues to happen all year long, I just...
Like, we're not going to stop talking about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's going to continue to be talked about.
Of course you're not. You got to. That's right. Your job. You got to do it. But the other thing, last thing I say, everybody pick and choose the information. Because Schefter was on Get Up this morning. I know you watch it all the time. But Schefter was on Get Up this morning talking about the Eagles ain't trading him.
Yeah.
Like, he finally got to the point, but people will sit there and say, oh, if they get blown away. Well, you're a fool if somebody give you a Herschel Walker deal and you don't contemplate it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, man, I think we are a little bit on the get rid of them or trading is a possibility. I don't think it's as much. I think the percentage is low. Not everybody is thinking that it's high, but I'm just saying I think a little too many people thinking that you got to trade him. Not doing that. So, all right, y'all be easy, man. Great show.
I don't think people want to trade AJ. Honestly, I think the Eagles fan base is afraid that AJ doesn't want to be here.
Nobody
feels that the Eagles are looking to trade AJ or any of that. I think the fans that are concerned, as I would be, is whether or not how happy is he with being an Eagle and being in the current situation. Right? Like that, that's really what it boils down to. It's more about, is AJ happy being an Eagle? If AJ is happy being an Eagle, I think everybody moves on. There's no more cryptic tweets. Like, how about putting out tweets that congratulate your teammates or the success of your team? And
even yesterday.
Yeah, onward and upward. Like things that are positive that support what you guys are doing. That's what a good teammate.
Well, there's no balance.
Yeah.
And also, I think everybody would also agree the chances of them trading him in season are probably low. Mm-hmm. But here's the comparison I would make. Yeah, Schefter said unless they get a blockbuster offer, they're not doing it. But imagine if the same sentence was written about Jalen. If the same sentence was written about Jalen, everybody would be there's no chance. They're not listening. But the paragraph in Schefter's article said they will listen to offers.
Right.
That's not being written about anybody else on the Eagles. Any other star-level player on the Eagles, that they're listening to offers. Yeah. And Jeffrey Lurie had a chance to shut it down publicly. Even AJ has a chance to shut it down. Nobody's shutting it down. So I think they wouldn't listen, you know?
This whole thing wouldn't even be a discussion.
If it wasn't for AJ, yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it wouldn't even be a discussion. If the Eagles were going about their business, working through their early season struggles, trying to get better, and everybody was on the same page, and everybody is in agreement and supporting one another, this would not be a discussion.
I agree with you.
Like, we've seen other teams go through rough patches, and all of a sudden, one of their best players isn't necessarily being discussed in trade talks and whether or not he's happy there. This is a question because it's been put out there from a questionable standpoint as to whether or not he's happy being an Eagle right now.
Well, look around the league. The Chiefs had a rough stretch. I don't remember seeing any of it. The Bills lost two in a row. I don't remember seeing any of their stars or any of their high-level players talking these rumors. Every good team in the NFL at this point, aside from the Packers, has lost a couple of games, and there's been an opportunity for that to happen, and it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And it has happened here.
Yeah.
So,
I agree. Like, honestly, listen, AJ could put all of this to bed.
Yeah. And he's chosen not to.
Yeah, with his own actions. Like, he can put all of this to bed, and we'll move on just talking about the team.
Speaking of the team, because the question. So I want to ask you about N'Kobe Dean and the defense overall.
Yeah.
Question during the press conference: how is it for the team with N'Kobe being back? I don't know. What's Nick going to say? Horrible. We can't stand it. Anyway, but he has taken snaps from Jahad Campbell the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was a good defensive effort from the Eagles yesterday. You know, they got to the quarterback a bunch, which they haven't done at all this year. They played tough. But the idea of N'Kobe being on the field more, what do you think of that, taking away snaps from Jahad Campbell at this point?
Yeah, I just think N'Kobe's in his natural position, which puts Zach Bond in his natural position and leaves Jahad Campbell in a unnatural position, which is trying to be an outside edge setter or an edge rusher, which I don't think is his natural position. I watched him plenty yesterday when he was in there. Matter of fact, I watched him also a lot on the sideline, because he wasn't out there early on downs as an edge defender, whether it be versus the run or versus the pass, because he wouldn't be one of the best suited to go out there and play that position, having, is it Ojulari? Who was out there? Zero.
Uche.
Between the two, I still haven't figured out which one is which. But, yeah, he's out there. You got Jalen Hunt out there who's playing well. And those are the guys who seemingly got a chance to rush the passer. I don't recall at all. I could be wrong, but I don't recall at all Jahad Campbell getting a chance to actually rush the passer. Even when he was an edge defender, he was more or less just an edge defender. He wasn't responsible to rush the quarterback.
An edge setter isn't the position I would put him in if he was on that position.
Yeah.
Like, if he at his best at that position, I think it would be go get the quarterback.
Yes.
Right? And we didn't see any of that yesterday. So naturally, correct me if I'm wrong, naturally, Jahad Campbell is more like Bond.
Zach Bond, yes.
Right?
Yep.
So that's interesting moving forward, because you just committed a bunch of money to Zach Bond, and you have the ability to play both of them. But if you're going to get the most out of Jahad Campbell, I don't know. It's weird looking forward. And N'Kobe Dean, this is the last year of his deal, and who knows if he'll be back. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at the linebacker, you know, next couple of years for the Eagles.
Well, I would tell you this. You know, N'Kobe Dean has a chance to stake claim to coming back and playing that role. Right now, Jeremiah is the natural fill-in behind N'Kobe Dean at that position.
Sure.
You know, when you look at Jahad Campbell and Zach Bond, they're more athletic, more versatile. You can do different things with them. Jeremiah and a N'Kobe Dean, starting with him, are strictly hash mark to hash mark, tackle to tackle type of linebackers that'll play downhill. The other guys are better athletes and more versatile. So moving forward, unless they feel comfortable with Jeremiah being that guy in the future, it may be N'Kobe Dean.
Unless he plays himself into a contract that they can't afford.
Right.
Yeah, after this year,
I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
The thing about N'Kobe Dean is, dude, you can just tell when he's out there. The last couple of games,
much better run defense with him out there.
They everything seems more stable when he's out there. He hits hard. He does what he's supposed to do. That was a... And Jahad Campbell is going to be a really good player, but such a natural fit with N'Kobe and Zach Bond out there. The other thing it allows him to do with Zach is there were a couple times yesterday where they put him on the edge and let him rush the quarterback, which he does really, really well, which they did a lot last year.
Yep.
But having N'Kobe in there in that position that he plays, I think allows them to do that with Zach Bond more.
Yeah, I think it puts those guys in their more natural position, which I think makes it a better front seven. And we've seen that the last 2 weeks versus the run, where it seems like we're more sturdy and solid up the middle of our defense. With Jalen Carter out there, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean behind him, that Georgia Bulldog sort of triangle right there, it fits naturally.
Yeah.
It fits naturally. So I don't know if Coach Fangio is looking to deviate from that. N'Kobe's not going anywhere. He's going to be your middle linebacker. And obviously Zach Bond is going to be the weak linebacker there, the weak side linebacker, and Jahad is going to fill in different sub packages for now. Like, that's what it seems like. That's what it looked like yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and Vic Fangio wants to win a Super Bowl, wants to have the best defense he can. And let's be honest, it took – if they don't need Jahad Campbell to be an every down player this year to win a Super Bowl, then he's under contract. He's a draft
pick. Not going
they
anywhere.
Have, he's not going anywhere. Yeah. It took Nolan Smith 3 years to make a difference, you know. Yep. So 215-592-9494. Warren in Gwynedd Valley, you're on WIP. What's up, Warren?
Hey, guys. Let me get my phone out of my pocket. Hold on.
That's a good idea.
Any better?
Great. Yeah.
I'm up in a bucket lift about 50 feet off the ground. Sorry about that.
Wait, where are you?
50 feet off the ground in a bucket lift.
Ah. In a bucket lift? Really? Yeah. Are you working or you just do that for fun?
Both.
Okay, working. All right. Fair enough. Be careful.
I have a question that doesn't seem to have come up. And where does A.J. Brown think the grass is greener on some other side? Like, what team does he, do you think, envision himself going to, getting the ball a lot and being a superstar?
New England.
So one team he's banking on to go to.
I would think about it. Let's think about it more narrowly, right? Let's think about it, a relationship, because that's the way I think it's a good context. Let's say AJ, just for argument's sake, let's say he cannot stand Jalen. He doesn't like being here.
Right.
And let's compare that to a relationship with a couple, right? Sometimes right. when that relationship ends, it's not about go find somebody better. It's about I don't want to be around you anymore. And I'm like,
that's
like
Alton would.
Yeah, sometimes it's about it might take me a year or two to find another regular relationship. But you know what? I can't stand waking up next and look at you anymore. I'm not talking about Val. I love you. We'll stay married forever. I don't ever think that. Never thought that. But in previous relationships, so what I'm saying is, I don't think when AJ is frustrated and AJ doesn't want to be here, I don't think it's about he may have preferred places he'd rather go and situations he'd rather be in. But what the sense that I get is, and if I were to project a little bit, I would say it's about not being in this situation. And there's something with him that it just seems like. Whatever it is, it's not about being in a better position. It's about not being in this one. And sometimes people make decisions that way.
That's really crazy, though, because he's not, I don't think, thinking this through rationally the way he just is very spontaneous. So
yeah.
it would behoove, you know, his friends, his teammates, to say, where do you think you're going that you're going to be successful if it's not with us? Because to me, he could put himself and another team in jeopardy by arriving somewhere, and then the same thing happens, and then he's going to have to text his way out of some other. And in the meantime, his brand is going down, 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 and he's tarnishing himself and his reputation every day that he's disgruntled.
Yeah, and listen, and I this is, you know, Spike gave a great example or analogy of sort of being in a relationship and your outlook on that relationship. I'll add this to that, because there's a flip side to that in a marriage, right? And this is, I'm 20 plus years in a marriage. I don't think I'm breaking news when I say there was a time or two where one of us wanted a divorce at some point.
Right.
20 plus years and 30 years of being together. Yeah, at some point in time, one of us wanted to be, or thought they'd had enough of the relationship. And then cooler heads prevail, and you're actually able to take the emotion out of it and think about things that you set forward as goals in your life and things you wanted to achieve as a husband or a wife and raising a family and doing those sorts of things, that now you're willing to throw that all away, because in this moment you're unhappy with whatever the current circumstance is. But if you let cooler heads prevail, you'll realize those goals and things that you all set forward prior to getting married are still attainable.
Sure.
And they mean so much to you, you've just lost track of how much they mean to you because
of
other
things. I totally agree.
So I say that to say, real quick, and I'm going to wrap it up. I say that to say, AJ may feel that in this moment.
Sure.
He can also have an epiphany that, you know what, this, it's not as bad as I think it is, and it can get better, and I need to make the best out of this. And then,
like you did last year.
Yeah, and then you have a change of heart of what you want to do. And that's really what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for right there.
I'm hoping for also, and I just hope you know, AJ is listening to all the fans and getting the other side that while he's disgruntled, he's not seeing the forest through the trees and how great the Eagles could be, you know, long term, and that whatever he thinks is on the other side is actually going to be worse than where he is now.
Well, and I'll tell you this.
Thank you for the call, Warren.
Say this, Warren. Being an athlete, quote unquote, in every city isn't equal. Being that guy here hits differently.
Yes, than Jacksonville.
It hits differently.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so.
Or some place like Cincinnati.
Yeah, you. Yes.
That's right.
You want to give up. You want to give up legendary status and the adulation and love.
Hero.
And loyalty.
Yeah.
Heroism that comes with playing in Philadelphia. Why would you want to give that up? Why would you want to give that up? Believe me, there are plenty of athletes that thought, you know what? They're going to miss me when I'm gone. And guess what happens? You miss being here when you're gone.
Right, they get replaced.
Yeah, and you want to try to gravitate back to it.
Yeah.
Because now you realize what could have been. It's one thing I've never regretted. It's one thing I've never regretted. I'm not who I am and where I'm at without being in this city.
Right.
It's different being here.
Yep, and there's only a few places like
this. Exactly.
There's only a few places
like this. This is one of the few. That's not me pandering. That's just me being honest about the situation and understanding being great here is different than being great somewhere else.
It's one of the things, like, when I was talking, before Richie came back to work here, and he lived in, and when I was talking to him about coming back here, he said, well, nobody remembers me there. I only played 2 years. I said, dude.
Yeah, they do.
You're an Eagle for 2 years on a Super Bowl team. I promise you, they remember. Yeah. That's what it's like here. It's not like that everywhere, you know. 215-592-9494. Oh, you know who might be a good person to ask about the AJ situation? Donovan McNabb?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk to him next?
What, again, some more I told you so's in the beginning?
Well, but then I'm going to hit him with the I told you so about Dak.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dak is ass.
Yep, Dak is ass. 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big parties, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's. Find your local one at chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.